Good morning. My name is Guy Huber, and I am a member of your church council. I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike, and a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through our live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. We have a few announcements this week. Just so you know about the live streaming, I travel a lot and it works great when I'm out of town. I'm glad to be able to watch it and see the people in here and follow the service. Join us next Sunday as we honor former organist and choir master James Bingham, the council of the mighty Margaret L. Went Memorial Organ, which he helped to mold and shape into the instrument it is today, will be dedicated in his honor, and there'll be a nice coffee hour downstairs afterwards. That's next Sunday. The Greater Buffalo Friends of Music will be sponsoring a Three Choirs Festival at Holy Trinity next Sunday at 4 p.m., featuring the Amherst Central High School Concert Choral, the University at Buffalo Choir, and the St. Joseph's Cathedral Choir, something not to miss. Please join us as we gather together for a Passover Seder Monday, April 15th at 6 p.m. in Redeemer Hall. Please make your reservation by calling the church office or filling out the reservation forms located on the tables in the entranceways. Finally, congratulations to Madison Day, who will be participating in our Welcome to the Table of Communion celebration today. See the bulletin for additional announcements, and remember, tomorrow's April Fool's, and we got the snow today. So thank you, and God bless.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who gathers us in the wilderness to redeem us, anoint us, and make us new. Amen. In these 40 days, let us be honest, confess our sin, and receive God's promise of mercy. God at the margins, we have wandered far from your home again and again. We lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promised to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces toward the future, where your forgiveness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. Like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender care. Like manna in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day, forgiving your sins for the sake of Christ, leading you from death to life. Amen.
Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God,
let us pray together. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward, and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with garments of your grace, and feed us at the table of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and we invite the young people to come forward for some time with Pastor Brenda.
I gotta get ready. Here we go. How cool is Pastor Brenda? Right? Really? I get a slow clap? Yes! That's good, right? I feel like that's good, right? So, I know that this is probably not the most outrageous thing that you guys have seen Pastor Brenda do, right? No, like, Pastor Brenda can do some crazy things. But what if Pastor Miller were to come out wearing, do you want the unicorn horn too? Like, right? Like, these are crazy things that we do that may make some of you, and these are really hard to, wow, these are not prescription strength, right? That might make you stop and pause. Well, we hear a story today in our gospel lesson about this outrageous thing that this guy does. So, this father had two sons, and one son comes up to him and says, "You know, I feel like I'm old enough that I can, that I can move on with my life, move out, see the world, do my own thing. But I need money for that, and can I have some?" And the father says, "Absolutely," divides up his inheritance and gives it to the son, and he's got two, but the other one didn't ask for it. So he continues to stay and work, and the other one goes off and spends all his money until he has no more. And then he becomes homeless. He can't find food. He can't find what work he does find is not the greatest. He works with pigs, and he's Jewish, and that's a whole nother story for a whole nother Sunday. And then he comes back, and he says, "I'm going to go back, and I'm going to say, 'Dad, I have done bad things. I dishonored you and sinned against you, and I don't deserve to be called your son anymore.'" And you guys might think that what the dad does is perfectly normal. I mean, my dad would run out and chase after me and welcome me home. And I'm sure many of your parents would do the same thing, right? Like, if you went away for a long time, I can guarantee you your parents would run after you and say, "Welcome, we're so glad you're home," right? But in our story today, that was not a thing. And just as crazy as it is that I'm wearing my super cool sunglasses and Pastor Miller gets to be unipastor for a day, gets to borrow my title, the father in that story does exactly what we think fathers should do. But in that time, it was totally off limits. The fact that he would not just walk out and go to his son, but would run after him. He was so happy that his son had come home that he just forgot everything he was supposed to do and ran out and meet him and said, "I'm so glad you're home. Let's throw a party." Sorry, that was really loud. Just so excited. And that's what God does. All right. That's what God does. God puts on his cool sunglasses. God might put on his unicorn crown. But God meets us wherever we are. God runs out to meet us. No matter what we've done or what we've said, God loves us so much that God is willing to do whatever it takes, no matter how ridiculous it might seem to us, to come out and say, "Welcome home. Let's party. I love you that much." Pretty cool, huh? All right, why don't we pray, and then you guys can go off to Sunday school. Good and gracious God, thank you for giving us this day, for bringing us together to have some time with you and some time with our friends, and to remind us that even though we might not be perfect, that you love us anyways, that you love us despite our imperfections, that you would do the most radical and ridiculous things to show your love to us. And we ask all these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen.
The first reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent is recorded in Joshua, the fifth chapter. The Lord said to Joshua, Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt, and so that place is called Gilgal today. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes, and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. The word of the Lord. The second reading for today is recorded in 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was concealing the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on, and he replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, 'Listen. For all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found.' This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And I ask that you pray first with me this morning. Good and gracious God, thank you for waking us up this morning, for gathering us here once more around your word and meal. Help us to recognize that we are not perfect and that you love us anyway. Empower us to see and embrace the differences we see in one another and to rejoice in those differences, that through Christ we will all be made new. We ask these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. March Madness is coming to a close. ESPN's Men's Basketball Tournament Challenge collected more than 17.2 million completed brackets. And by the end of the first day of the tournament, only 42,828, or 0.25% of all of those brackets remained perfect after just 16 games. It seems in our society today that we are conditioned to pick a team, to pick a side. I don't know about you, but I remember when it came time to form teams for playground games, I was always nervous about being picked last. It's traumatizing. By picking sides, we are creating rules and norms that define who or what is in or who or what is out. We create standards that for many may never be attainable. And it seems that on first read of this parable, that is what Jesus is looking for us to do, to pick a side, the squandering younger brother or the resentful older brother. Stepping into a parable gives us a chance to keep listening, to listen again, and to be open to the possibility that it may say something new to us. In reading and trying to understand parables, many interpretive strategies are used, including allegorizing the story, which frequently entails assigning identities to the sons and the father to people outside of the immediate narrative. I know I am guilty of this. I stand up here when we read parables at times and say, "Where do you find yourself in the parable?" In order to create explicit connections into one's daily life. And while these allegorical interpretations can help to provide explicit connections, there are also risks to such interpretations. At best, we are missing details in the story, and at worst, we are mischaracterizing and bearing false witness in interpreting of whom the characters might represent. And it appears that this might be one of the most straightforward parables Jesus told. And we run the risk of missing the story by trying to figure out who is whom and the characters that they represent. This morning, instead of asking, "Where do I fit into this story?" let's take a moment to read the parable as if we do not already know what it says, to be reintroduced to the son who asks for his inheritance and squanders it, the son who works as though a servant and receives nothing, and the father whom love inspires to chase after both. And don't worry, I'm not going to actually read the parable again. If you can't feel it, Jesus sets this parable up to create a tension among the two brothers. And we feel this urge to pick a side, to pick a team, to pick a brother. But let's take a moment to step back and sit just within this tension. The younger son travels to a distant land while the elder son remains home. The younger son indicates that he is no longer worthy to be called son and asks to be made a servant, while the elder son describes himself as slaving away and receiving nothing. The younger son is dead and then alive, lost and then found, and the elder son is always with the father. The younger son is the guest of honor at the party, and the elder son learns about the party from a servant. Again, we are tempted to distance the brothers from one another, to pick one over the other, to choose which is the more beloved of the two, to identify with one character or the other, for that is what we are to do in such parables. Which character do I see myself in the most, the one that exemplifies the best me possible? And yet this parable invites us to sit with both sons, with the younger in the messes of his own making, and with the elder in the bitterness and fear of being overlooked. And at any given time, we can find ourselves on one side or the other. Who among us has not squandered the love we have been given? Who among us has not felt the bitter sting of insecurity and fear of being left out? Who among us has not chased after love, hoping that it will be returned? Who among us has deemed someone unworthy of such love and grace? When we have resented another, felt that they deserved less because of who they are or how they act. And yet in our parable, the father crosses this tension created between the two brothers, not just once, but twice. The father crosses the tension once to welcome the younger son home and again to invite the elder son to the party. You see, the father cannot imagine what this party would be without both of his sons present. The extravagant love of the father is shown in his directions to his servants upon the return of his lost son, but also in the response to the older son in saying, "All that I have is yours." The father leaves the comfort of his home to bring in all that is lost and all that feels forsaken. And when we have recognized ourselves in the deep hope and hunger that someone would leave the threshold to come find us when we are lost or will invite us to the party in the midst of our fear of being left out, this is what God does. God stands in and among the tensions we have of ourselves and those we make of one another. God crosses any and all of the tensions that we have created. God cannot imagine a party without all people being present. God's love doesn't pick sides, doesn't name a winner or a loser, doesn't set standards for one to achieve. God meets us where we are. The food is prepared and the table is set. Each one of us in our own messes and our own bitterness and fear have a place at that table today. Jesus has given us the invitation, the robe and the ring and the fatted calf for today's feast. All is ready. Jesus gave all that he had so that it could be ours. God meets us in the midst of love and grace that we have squandered. God meets us in the sting of insecurity and the fear of being left out. God chases after us as we chase after love. God loves us where we are, no matter which side we might be in, for God doesn't see sides. God loves all of us, welcomes each and every one of us to say and says to us, "Bring a robe and kill the fatted calf. Let us eat and celebrate." God reassures us that all that is mine is yours. Amen.
with a gracious God who comes running to meet us, we are bold to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning in your worship bulletin on page 11. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seeking the grace, mercy, and love of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the Church, for people in need, and for all of creation. God of abundant grace, guide your Church to look upon people as you look upon them, with compassion and as deserving of mercy. Shape us to be worthy ambassadors of Christ. Strengthen the ministries of the Buffalo City Cluster, Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Bestow dignity on migrant and seasonal farm and factory workers. When the time comes for them to leave jobs, provide new ways for them to make a livelihood. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Inspire musicians and poets to point to your unfathomable beauty and creativity. Enhance our vision of your holiness through their works. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Protect and preserve all people who look to you to be their hiding place. Be their respite from trouble and give them hope. We pray especially for all men and women serving in the armed forces and for their families. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Erase the pain of trauma and the shame and stigma of social contempt. Change the hearts of those who bully or mistreat others and heal broken relationships. We pray for all of those that we now name out loud and for those that we name and remember from the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially today for Madison, hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Invite your whole company of saints into eternal joyful feasting. When we question your abundant mercy, soften our hearts to receive the gifts of faith and love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Reveal your will as you receive our prayers and conform our ways to your ways through the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Let us pray together. Generous God, you feed us with the harvest of the land, and you provide for our every need. Receive our gifts of money, imagination, and labor, and transform them into a feast that welcomes all. In Jesus Christ, our host and our guest. Amen. Give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to all of his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
And as you witnessed, we offer a very special welcome to Madison Day. Welcome to the table after receiving communion instruction. You may have seen the chalice that is here on the altar that she painted herself during instruction. There are two other students who will be welcomed to the table later on this spring, and it is a special blessing when we can share and receive our Lord's body and blood, and we bless Madison and her whole family. Now the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray together. Tender and merciful one, at your feast you fed us, brought nothing, turning our emptiness into joy. Filled with your abundant grace, send us now to be ministers of reconciliation, mending broken hearts, working for justice, and striving for peace among all people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Compassionate God, as Jesus called disciples to follow him, bless those who go forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are sick, homebound, or imprisoned. May these gifts be signs of our love and prayers, that through the sharing of the body and blood of Christ, all may know your grace and healing, revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God who fills the creation with abundance, Christ who spreads his arms in forgiveness, the Holy Spirit who draws ever near to us, bless you and bring you to life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Remember the poor. Thanks be to God.